The past few weeks have been perhaps the most eventful in quite a while. With the U.S. Supreme Court, the justices struck down the Defense of Marriage Act while dismissing the plaintiffs who supported California's Proposition 8 that bans same-sex marriage. The High Court also struck down the 1965 Voting Rights Act. On Capitol Hill, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives failed to pass the Farm Bill, while Democrats in the Senate got some bipartisan support for their immigration reform measure. We caught up with Eastern Shore Congressman Andy Harris this week, and we asked the Maryland Republican about his party's failure to get the Farm Bill approved.
I voted for the Farm Bill. I think it has many needed reforms, both to the nutritional assistance program as well as to the farm programs. I believe that we will get a Farm Bill through Congress this year. I hope it's just not an extension of the old bill, because we do need some reforms, but I believe that that it's going to happen. It's going to be it's going to take a little while because we have to reconcile the two houses, but we'll get to it.
So why do you think it died?
Because I think that there's concern that in the House especially that the nutrition assistance programs, which now make up 80% of the Farm Bill, probably should have been separated from the farm part of the Farm Bill. Right now the tail is wagging the dog. It's really not a Farm Bill anymore. It's really the food stamp bill with farm programs attached to it, whereas 20 years ago it was the other way around.
How would you reform food stamps?
Well, we've increased, unemployment has increased about 50% from its baseline levels, and yet food stamps have increased, the expenditures have increased 240% over the past 10 years. Clearly, we have many more people who have been made dependent on food stamps by the broadening of the ability to obtain food stamps, and frequently without the need to document the qualification for the program. The big large step increase occurred. One is when the benefit increased, and the other one was when you had the automatic qualification. But whenever you qualify for a state or federal program, a transfer of payment program, what we might affectionately, shorthand call a welfare program, you automatically qualify for food stamps without showing the need to qualify specifically for the food stamp thresholds. I think that we need a food safety net. We need a food stamp program. But I also think it's not unreasonable to ask anyone who's getting that assistance to prove on a regular basis that they remain qualified for this program.
What was your reaction, by the way, to the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage?
I think as far as on the state level, they got it right. That they refused to supersede the state's abilities to decide, what marriage is. I do think the federal government, though, for simplicity, crossing state lines, I think there should be a federal policy, and I think that DOMA shouldn't have been overturned.
And what about the Voting Rights Act decision by the court?
Well, I think that, as you know, the formulas in the Voting Rights Act that were overturned are decades-old formulas. I think the last election proved, since there were, for instance, more African-American voters in terms of turnout than white voters, that it's probably time to reconsider the Voting Rights Act and to reform it.
On immigration, the Senate passed its bill, and House Speaker John Boehner says that the House will pass its own version. So how satisfied are you with what you've seen come out of the Senate? What do you want out of an immigration bill?
Well, I think the most important part of an immigration bill is that it matches our ability to get foreign workers whenever necessary to complete jobs and to perform jobs that the American labor market can't fill. That's specifically important on the lower shore with regards to both tourism, agriculture, the poultry industry, the food processing industry. So we need to reform those programs. I also think that we need to allow more high-tech workers into America if we don't train our own. And finally, I'm disappointed that the Senate rewards individuals who came here illegally and broke the law by actually offering them what amounts to be almost an expedited path to citizenship.
Do you favor any form of path to citizenship for those without papers?
No, I think they should have the same pathway to citizenship that any other foreign person in a foreign country has. That is, if you're interested in becoming a citizen, you'd have to return back home and come back in, wait in line to be a citizen. If you're going to get the exception that the Senate creates for an immediate work visa here, despite having entered illegally, I think what you should have to give up for that is citizenship for yourself. Now, your children will be citizens, but I think that's a reasonable thing to ask of someone who's kind of gotten in front of the line illegally for U.S. citizenship.
What would you say to those where on the Eastern Shore, undocumented workers are in many of the industries, say chicken industry and construction and landscaping? I mean, they're very much part of the presence here. I mean, I've interviewed a number of them.
Well, again, if the idea is that what you're going to do is create a visa system that allows those individuals to stay on temporary work visas, and they can be fairly long-term temporary work visas, but removes the pathway to citizenship, I think that those workers will stay. I think they will apply for those visas. I think the industries will have their workers. And in the end, you'll satisfy those critics like myself who say that if someone has come here breaking the law, that you can allow them to participate in the economy, but we can't offer them a expedited path to citizenship.
Finally, I want to turn to what's been called the pollution diet for the Chesapeake Bay. What's your assessment of how that is going? And there are some counties that are resisting it.
Well, I think that there's a good reason to resist the implementation at this point, because the implementation was through the imposition of a new tax, which some people call the rain tax. And I believe that before we should ask anyone to pay an additional penny in taxation, we ought to prove that those tax monies will be used toward programs and projects that have definite, documented ability to get the job done. And I think we don't have that. I think that there are numerous different projects these are going to pay for that really haven't scientifically been shown to solve the problem. And that's the issue right now.
Now, one of the elements down here has been the Conowingo Dam, and both environmental groups, as well as the counties, some of whom are resisting the pollution diet, seem to agree that the sediment from that source needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. We've met with the Corps of Engineers. We've met with Exelon. We've met with the community groups. We've met with Chesapeake Bay Foundation on this issue. The fact of the matter is that we can control, we control all the sediment we want to downstream from the Conowingo Dam, but a large storm event will negate all the monies we have spent on that sediment control downstream from the Conowingo Dam. So again, this is one of the reasons why before we impose a rain tax on all Marylanders, we should have had a solution in hand to the Conowingo Dam. And again, there's just reticence to deal with that issue, although we know it's a ticking time bomb. And in fact, with any major rain event, even now, the amount of sediment washing over that dam is enough to negate a lot of the sediment control efforts that we have in place at this point.
Eastern Shore Representative Andy Harris, Republican from Maryland's 1st Congressional District. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.